This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Inside Story on BFM 89.9.
It's 6:05. Welcome to Inside Story. I'm Sharmila Ganesan. How would you feel if your husband was arrested and you haven't been allowed access to him for a month? Today, we'll be looking at what's happening with Simon Momo, who was arrested last month, has served his jail sentence, and yet hasn't been released or allowed to see his family since then. First, we'll be hearing from his wife, May Lau. Then, we'll speak to the organization and lawyer that's representing him. This is Inside Story. It is 6:06. You're listening to Inside Story with me, Sharmila. Now, here's what's happened, right? Simon Momo is a Nigerian national. He is married to a Malaysian and he's been here for the past 8 years. They have two Malaysian children. Now, on March 15th last month, he was arrested for suspected drunk driving. He was charged. He pleaded guilty, paid a 12,000 ringgit fine, served a one-day jail sentence. But then following that, he wasn't released. He was instead transferred to the Immigration Detainment Center. He's had his visa revoked, and now he's actually been issued with a deportation order. And the worst part of all of this is that in the 1 month since his original arrest, he's not been allowed to meet with his family. His family hasn't been given access to him. And his lawyer hasn't been able to speak to him. And instead, it's been a series of trials, a series of trying to figure out what has happened. And as of now, as it stands, his deportation order still stands, but it's been pushed following a trial yesterday. It's been pushed for a discussion on the 21st of April. Now, the question here is not so much what he did wrong, because it's worth keeping in mind that he has served the time and paid the fine for the offense that he was first arrested for. But now the question being, why is he being held? And why hasn't he been given the due process of being given access to his family? This now, needless to say, has been the topic of a lot of conversation, a lot of criticism, and a statement has been released in solidarity with Simon and his family by an NGO, Family Frontiers, as well as 23 civil society organizations and 19 individuals who have all called for his immediate release. This statement went out on the 12th of April, and there's been repeated calls for him to be released, repeated calls for explanation, and none of this has been responded to. So what we're going to do for this hour is to look at the situation and hear from really not just the people involved in both securing Simon's freedom, hopefully, as well as the people who are really affected by this, namely his family. So we'll be speaking to Simon's wife, May Lau, after this about this really difficult time that they've been going through. So let us know what you think. What do you think about the situation? Call us 7733 2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, tweet us at BFM Radio. Coming up after this, we will be speaking with Simon's wife, May Lau. Keep it here on Inside Story, BFM 89.9.
Because freedom matters, BFM 89.9.
It is just coming up to 6:11. You're listening to Inside Story with Sharmila. We're talking about the case of Simon Momo, who was arrested last month, has served his time, has paid a fine for what he was arrested for, and yet has not been released. He's currently under detention and is now facing deportation. He's a Nigerian national. He's married to a Malaysian. They've got a family here, and he's been here for 8 years. So we're trying to make sense of what is happening and speak to the people involved. Let us know what you think about the situation. Call us 7733 2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, tweet us at BFM Radio. Now, joining us on the line is Simon Momo's wife, May Lau. May, thank you so much for joining us today.
Hi, thank you.
Could you tell us about Simon and your family, and how does the family usually spend time together?
Okay, my husband Simon, he's a very caring and kind person, and of course a loving husband and father. He has his weaknesses, but he always tries his best throughout these 8 years of our marriage. and having our own family together, he always improved himself to become a better person. He is always honest with me and being a supportive partner to me. So at our spare time, normally he and me will bring the children to go cycling, swimming, and play together, have movie nights at home. So the children are very attached to him. Any problems they face, they will definitely tell their dad. They are the daddy's girls. When they couldn't sleep, they will look for their dad to chit-chat and also have supper together. Yeah.
How old are your daughters, I was wondering?
They are 8 and 5 years old.
And when was the last time that you were able to see your husband?
I saw him, the last was a month ago. That was in the court where I pay his fine. So I was expecting that he would be released in the evening. So, but I did not hear from him that day. So I picked up my kids in the evening and even drove to the court in KL to look for him, guessing maybe he was released late or maybe his phone has no battery, you know, he couldn't call me. I later then drove to the police station where he was held up before, and they told me he might be sent to the Kajang prison. So I thought he will be out the next day, but when I called to the prison site, they say he is no longer under prison custody, but by immigration. My heart sank and I felt weak. I've been calling to the prison every day, and the same answer be given to me that he was pending for swab test. Only after the swab test, then immigration will pick him up. But no one can tell me the time frame. Yeah.
And how have you been coping since then? Are your daughters aware of what is happening?
Okay, I have been emotionally unstable, especially for the first 2 weeks. I could not eat and sleep very well. I am very worried about my husband's condition after I lost contact with him. And I'm very sure that he has no idea that this will happen to him. He's expecting for me to pick him up on that day itself. Then his family in Nigeria also been calling me every day as they are. All of them are very worried about him. But I try to be strong as I remember what he told me last when I saw him in the court. He told me not to worry about him and take care of the kids very well. The children are aware of what happened and they tear up knowing that their dad is being locked up, especially during night times. They will be crying and telling me that they miss their dad. They call their dad Papa. They miss their papa. And then we will look at his pictures and see his videos to cheer up ourselves and we pray together. The kids have been making lots of cards to their dad and waiting for their dad to come home. So whatever they wanted to do, they would tell me that let's wait for their papa to come back first. And the children also asked me some questions. I couldn't answer them, like, you know, why is he not being released after he served his sentence? Are they aware that he has 2 children? And who will take care of them if I need to travel for work? I know they started to feel insecure without their dad by their side. And they don't feel complete because one of the family members that is important to them is not with them. And the only thing I can assure them that we will be united soon and we just need to stay strong for their dad.
May, now, as you mentioned, it's been a month since you've been able to get in touch with your husband. I just wanted to get a picture of how you've been trying in this time to reach him or to connect with him.
Every day I call to the prison and they won't allow me to talk to him or visit him. I even physically reach to the prison site and, you know, ask them if I could visit him. They don't allow due to the COVID restrictions. So after I engaged my lawyer, Rima, he also tried to approach them, but he was denied also to access to him. So for the 1 whole month, we have lost contact with him. We couldn't access to him.
And now they've issued the deportation order. How have you been feeling since you received that news?
When I get to know that he will be deported, I broke down. I thought I was emotionally prepared for the worst. But when I hear the news from the immigration, I was shaking. many thoughts in my head. What if he goes back? How is our future going to be like, especially towards our children without their father by their side? They are in the stage of growing up. They need their father to guide them in many aspects.
What are your hopes for now?
Now, I hope that he can be released soon and let our family be united again. I also want to take this opportunity to thank for family, friends, and the NGOs, individuals, for giving me and my children the moral support that we needed at this moment. Yeah, I really thank and appreciate all the efforts from many parties that have been supporting us.
You know, I can't imagine how you're coping with this and the strength that you need to do this. We are going to play out with a favorite song of Simon's, Lifted by Lighthouse Family. I was wondering whether you had a message for him before we let you go.
Okay. Laogong, stay strong and have faith. Okay. We will face the ups and downs together as family. Don't give up. And we love you a lot. That's my message for him.
May, thank you so much for speaking with us today and for sharing your experience.
Thank you very much.
Do let us know what you think about this situation. Simon Momo has been detained in the immigration center for a month without being able to speak to his family. That was his wife that you just heard from, May Lau, who has been making repeated attempts to get in touch with him to no avail. Call us. 7733 2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, tweet us at BFM Radio. Coming up, we'll be speaking to the people who are representing Simon in this case. But first, a song, one of Simon's favorites, I'm told, Lifted by Lighthouse Family. This is Inside Story, BFM 89.9.
Bigotry Free Malaysia, BFM 89.9.
It is 6:23. You're listening to Inside Story. With me, Sharmila. Earlier, we heard, today we're talking about the case of Simon Momo, who is a Nigerian national married to a Malaysian, May Lau, and he was arrested on, he was arrested early in March, has been detained up till today, a month later, with no contact with his family. And this has been with no contact with his family, and he has had been issued with deportation orders as well. So we heard earlier personally from May, and that song was one that she suggested to us as one of his favorites, Lifted by Lighthouse Family. And coming up after this, we will be hearing from the people related, the people representing Simon in this case. We'll be speaking to the to a representative of the Foreign Spouses Support Group, as well as Simon's lawyer. Meanwhile, let us know what you think about the situation. You can call us 7732900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, tweet us at BFM Radio. Keep it here on Inside Story, BFM 89.9.
Build Fairer Malaysia, BFM 89.9.
It is 6:37. You're listening to Inside Story with Sharmila. Today, we're talking about the Simon Momo's case. He has been detained since March 15th. He was arrested. He paid the 12,000 ringgit fine he was supposed to, and he served a one-day jail sentence. But since then, for 1 month, he has been denied access to his family. His wife and children haven't been able to speak to him or get in touch with him. And now his visa has been revoked, despite it still being valid, and he's facing deportation. So we heard earlier from his wife, May Lau, about her experiences. Frankly, just heartbreaking, having to not be able to get in touch with her husband for the last month, not knowing what was happening, what she should do to deal with the situation. And we've been asking you for your thoughts. And we have some messages. We have Sue asked, saying, this sounds crazy. How can this happen to a person who has paid the fine? Are we so inefficient as a country? I cry for Malaysia. What has happened to the country I once knew? What are our leaders doing about inefficiencies, injustices to the innocent? We are Malaysia, not a third world country, but we behave like one in this case. And Din messaged in to say, I haven't heard of the situation with Simon Momo, and it's truly heartbreaking to hear what his family is going going through. I think there needs to be more of an explanation as to why exactly this is happening and more transparency. It's just not right for a family to be torn apart without truly understanding why or being able to appeal the case and do something. Keep those thoughts coming, what you think about this situation that Simon Momo and his family are currently undergoing. You can call us 7733 2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, tweet us at BFM Radio. Now, we have on the line with us the people who have been helping Simon through this. We have Bina Ramanand, who is the lead coordinator and co-founder of the Foreign Spouses Support Group, as well as Vimal Arison, who is Simon Momo's lawyer. Bina, Vimal, thank you for joining us today.
Thank you for having us here.
Vimal, I'll start with you and sort of get the legal aspect of this out of the way first, yeah? But I wanted to first begin with, I understand you just saw Simon earlier today. Can you tell us how he's doing?
Yeah, I just met him. We've been trying to meet him for about a month. After I requested the judge on Wednesday, he told the prosecution to arrange access for me to meet him and his wife. However, today they only allowed me to go. So I was glad that he was strong. He was very worried about his family, but he is strong. He's strong. He hopes that the family stays strong as well. He has a lot of love for them.
Now, going back to the case itself, could you walk us through the events around Simon's arrest?
Okay, what happened was on the 15th, he was arrested in a roadblock for having alcohol in his system. He wasn't drunk or driving recklessly or anything as such. Then he was brought to the Jalan Duta Magistrate's Court and he was charged and he pleaded guilty. He was informed that he will be released at 5 in the evening. So the wife paid a $12,000 fine and that was the last she heard about him. She was waiting. And then she contacted me after 2 weeks of waiting because they told her that it will take 2 weeks to do a COVID swab test. That was the reason they were holding him in Kajang prison. So then when I started doing my check and I found out that it's not only about the COVID test and immigration got involved. So I immediately filed an habeas corpus application stating that the detention is unlawful for Simon to be released immediately. And 21st April will be the final hearing of this matter.
Now, you mentioned he was arrested, and then he was re-arrested and detained further for a whole month. This was despite paying that 12,000 ringgit fine and already serving a day in jail. How did this happen, and doesn't this constitute as a double punishment?
Yeah, I agree with you totally. However, the Immigration Act allows for it. Pursuant to Section 8 of the Immigration Act, any foreigner found guilty and sentenced to any term that includes imprisonment, he becomes a prohibited immigrant at the discretion of the Director General of Immigration. So the Director General actually has a discretion to decide whether that person is a prohibited immigrant or not. It is not mandatory that everyone who is in prison becomes a prohibited migrant. I know personally cases where foreigners who are convicted for even crimes that involve drug usage and whatnot are released and they are not deported.
So to be clear, the reason he's being detained is because because when you are a foreign national, you could potentially continue to be detained under the immigration center for that crime. Is that it?
Yeah, they allow detention up to 30 days for the Director General of Immigration to decide whether to deport you or not. So they invoke that section 34 and kept him in Kajang prison initially because they were doing COVID tests and then subsequently he was transferred to the Semeni immigration depot.
So I did want to ask though, you mentioned that the decision to deport is up to the DG. Has a reason been given as to why he's being deported?
Well, we just got the reason 2 days ago and they filed the affidavit where the Director General said that drink driving is a rampant offence in Malaysia and he sees that as an issue of national importance for Simon to be deported. Of course, we don't agree with that decision, but that was what he said.
What about the fact that his family, as well as yourself, until today, haven't been able to visit him? Is this a common practice?
It is not. Usually, lawyers get to meet their clients. We make an appointment 1-2 days before and we're allowed to see. I do not know why it's different in Simon's case. In fact, two days ago, I and his wife went to the deportation center where they told us initially that we could meet him. And once we reached there, they denied entry again, saying that they don't have to take orders from Putrajaya. Thankfully to the judge who insisted that we get access.
And I was wondering, because I know we heard earlier from his wife, May, as well, how have the authorities responded to appeals from the family?
The wife wrote a personal appeal to the Director General after she received the deportation order. However, he rejected it, which means currently Simon's position is just pending a deportation date.
And Bina, I wanted to...
There is another avenue available for Simon, which is to appeal to the Home Minister, which is allowed under the Act, the Immigration Act.
And is that something that you will pursue?
Yeah, we will. We will exhaust all available avenues. He has 7 days to do that appeal. He was served that order apparently on the 12th.
So, Bina, I did want to draw you now into the conversation because you've been supporting their family in terms of, just coordinating all of these things. How does a situation like this affect the spouse involved and their families?
In a situation like this, it is the Malaysian family that is at a loss. You know, the responsibility ends up onto the one Malaysian spouse who's here, who suddenly has to carry on the burden of managing the finances on top of the immigration issues. And then children have to be taken care of. And children are faced with a sudden difficulty and emotional strain, which is hard for them to digest. And the sudden absence of the parents changes their routine. It can be really traumatizing because Simon was the primary caregiver. We are actually wondering what's it going to be like for the children when they go back to school. And situations like this can create discomfort and uneasiness in the binational families. Families are at an edge. Even pre-COVID days, the situation was not easy. It is not a normal situation for binational families. Day-to-day living is a challenge. Many things that Malaysians take for granted, like opening a bank account or converting a driving license or even visiting a tourist spot, really, it's a huge struggle. They pay double charges. They pay foreigner rates to even visit a leisure center or a tourist center. And spouses, after living in Malaysia for decades, having to pay tourist rates, they find that very hard to accept. Their children are Malaysians. You know, they have difficulty accessing education to improve themselves, to provide for their families. They are treated like foreigners. Although they may be the primary carer, the only income earner for the Malaysian family, they have to face a lot of difficult processes, procedures for their visas. It puts them into very precarious situations. And now we are in the midst of a pandemic. There should be due consideration towards the family. It's not an easy situation for anyone to handle. And we should not allow families to fall into precarity. Already, resources are dwindling. These are unprecedented times. And who's affected? Women and children who are Malaysians. I think due consideration needs to be taken so that the best interest of the woman, the best interest of the child is taken care of.
Bina, we do have a message, or rather a question from a listener, Patrick, who's asking, with regards to Simon Momo, has there been any word from the High Commission of Nigeria here?
They did attend the proceedings on, I think, April 9th. Many of the High Commissions and embassies here, I think, take a non-interference kind of a process, which should not be the case because it involves their nationals. We'd like to see more protection given to their own nationals and, you know, more support.
Now, I'm wondering whether this signals a sort of change that needs to happen within our immigration policies so as to account for families.
Definitely. The laws are there to prevent injustice and to prevent harm. They need to be more family-friendly. There's a need to take into consideration the well-being, the protection of the family. And is the law gender-sensitive? Are women receiving adequate protection under the law? How is this law affecting women, Malaysian women and non-citizen women in binational marriages? I think there needs to be a good study and, the recommendations to this. Because in many of the cases, women are the ones who are disproportionately affected. For example, the restrictions with regard to employment. There is a statement on the visas that says prohibited from employment. It's something like, it's a statement of prohibition from employment because you're a spouse. And how, and then of course, immigration says you can work. But any employer who sees a statement that prohibits you from all forms of employment is going to have a hard time wanting to employ you. So these restrictions need to be removed so that foreign spouses are able to contribute towards the family income. They're here for the long haul. So allow them to contribute towards the development of the family, towards the development of the country. They can contribute towards the taxes. They come in with various talents, education from overseas. Many of them are highly educated. Why are we allowing them to become idle resources when they can be contributors? There's a need to institutionalize meetings between civil society and government so that issues on the ground can be communicated and reflected into policy.
Now, we did say earlier, of course, that Simon's wife May hasn't been able to reach him despite calling the prison daily. Mm-hmm. And Vimal, I understand you have a message from Simon to his wife. Would you like to share that?
Yeah, sure, Shamila. I told Simon earlier that we're going to have his interview later, and then he told me to send this message to his wife and to everyone that has been supporting him. So I'll just read it a bit. Simon said that he respects the government's decision. He made a mistake. He regrets it terribly. He says sorry to his wife and kids. He always wanted a much better life for his kids. He married me because he really loved her, not for anything else. He appreciates everyone's help in this matter. He told to tell me that even though that he has to return back to Nigeria, he promises me that he will not remarry. He loves her forever, and she's the only one for him for the rest of his life.
Vimal, thanks so much for sharing that. And Bina, Vimal, thanks for joining us today.
Thank you.
You just heard from Bina Ramanand, lead coordinator and co-founder of the Foreign Spouses Support Group, as well as Vimal Arison, who is the lawyer representing Simon Momo. And we've been talking about the fact that Simon was arrested last month on charges for drink driving. He served a day of his one-day sentence. He paid his 12,000 ringgit fine. And yet after that, his visa has been revoked. He's been detained for a month in the Immigration Detention Center without contact with his family, his wife and his two daughters. And now he faces impending deportation. We've been asking you what you think about the situation. We've got many messages coming through. Do continue to send those in. You can call us 7733 2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899. You can also tweet us at BFM Radio. Just looking through some of those that have come in, we have Sue, who's back to continue what she said earlier. And she goes on to say, how will Malaysia be perceived in the eyes of the world? At least let Simon have access to a lawyer and his family. That's the least anyone in detention should be given. Basic rights as a person. Don't our government servants know this? What about our courts? They can't wash their hands of this after Simon has paid the fine. What is the real truth behind all this? So I think you bring up a really good point in terms of basic rights, the access to a lawyer, the access to a family, particularly when someone hasn't actually committed in this case, someone has paid the fine and served the jail time. And I think that's the question that's gotten everyone really riled up. We do have a WhatsApp from someone who says, have the authorities stated clearly why Simon is being deported? I hope this is not on the basis of the spouse being a female Malaysian, female in caps. And I think this speaks to something that we've seen happen often here, right? That a woman being married to a foreign national is often treated differently, not necessarily given the same kinds of rights that a man married to a foreign national is. And I think that's where some of this is coming from. We have Ravi saying the DG of Immigration seems to forget who pays his salary. This is another big snafu by the Immigration Department, like when they deported the Burmese, the Myanmar people back when they shouldn't have. Nini just WhatsApped in to say this is such an unfortunate incident. I completely agree, Nini. It really is unfortunate. And I really hope that we do this family justice. And Maggie says, I greatly worry that before the appeal of the Home Minister can be obtained, Simon's deportation would have happened. Maggie, I really hope that that isn't the case. I mean, as we heard from Vimal earlier, Simon does have 7 days for this to get done. And I hope that that appeal goes through and that he's given a fair chance, just like anyone else should be in the eyes of the law. Keep those thoughts coming. We've been talking about Simon Momo and the fact that he's been denied access to his family as he's detained in a in immigration detention center. Call us 7733 2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, tweet us at BFM Radio. This has been Inside Story, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.